problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
All right, no Katie, unfortunately for our guest, because she's the most talented and
she's the body.
The yeah, that's true. It's Dave and Nate. Bottom of the hour, Mac Angle, Fort Worth Star Telegram is going to join us to talk about all the stuff going on in Baylor down in Texas. That's a rough situation. We'll get into it with him. Right now, though, in studio, it's comedy royalty, because I grew up watching all these guys, and we're almost the same age. I'm not trying to make them sound old. We're pretty much exactly the same age, but the Wayans...
He got a little bit quicker start than you did.
A little bit. The Wayans family...
He looks a hell of a lot older.
Thank you. I appreciate
I'm just going to put that out there.
I do. I
mean, which means you have much more wisdom.
6:30 and 7:30 tonight at The Crest. Marlon Wayans joining us in the studio. Marlon, I'm Dave. That's Nate.
What's happening, guys? How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm a little upset.
Why?
Because I felt like the starting team for the Cavs did what they had to do to win the game. Mm-hmm. And I felt like their bench and their reserve defense killed them. And I think that LeBron, as great of a player as he has to turn the ball over at least one-third of the time that he did. He has to play stronger, and you can't let Iguodala or anybody else slap the ball out of your hands or steal the ball from your hands. If LeBron has no turnovers, they come close to winning that game.
Now, here's my question. Do you have a team? And in this series, I assume you're going for the Cavs? Okay. But you're going for the Cavs and LeBron?
LeBron, I know LeBron.
Okay.
Very nice to my son. I like Steph Curry and LeBron equally. I've been a fan of LeBron longer, because since LeBron came in the league, I was like, that's the guy, because I was looking for who was the next Jordan. I hated Kobe because he's a Laker.
Well, he was like a cheat. He spent his whole career mimicking Michael, too, let's be honest.
So much that you can't really look at his stats and go, he's Jordan-esque. LeBron has all the qualifications for the most part. I just think he needs to work on his post game, and he needs something, a go-to move with his back to the basket.
Sure.
And, you know, or like Kareem had the skyhook. What's his name? Hakeem Olajuwon had that footwork.
Dream shake.
That dream shake and his fadeaway. He needs that one go-to shot that he practices 70,000 times that goes in every time, or at least 70% of the time.
Sure.
He needs that. But otherwise, I just think that the Dellavedova, they're playing too small. You got to play big man against these little guys. You got to put Mozgov in the game. You got to play Kyrie at the point, LeBron at the two, Kevin Love at the three, Thompson at the four. That's your starting five, and then you pick your bench players from there. You can't start with your bench players and think that
you're
going
to win. Where were you 2 hours ago? We've been on since six.
We've been floating sat with our water wings
on.
I'm just saying, you're right.
I wasn't listening to you guys. If I'm stealing stuff, let me know.
You were on TV. No. We were watching.
No, you're actually
TV.
Giving like pointed analysis that we couldn't offer for the final or for the previous 2 hours.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah. I'm glad. Listen, I love sports. So.
Yes.
I forget the comedy show. I need to own a team. Like, not a fantasy team.
Uh-huh.
Like
a real team.
To be a billionaire, so I could be that obnoxious guy, like the owner of the Cavs or the owner of the Clippers.
Right.
I'm rich and I'm stinking and I'm yelling and I get kicked out of games and I don't care. I pay double the fine just to say F you.
See, I feel like you'd be the, I feel like you'd be the cool owner.
No, I would definitely ask my son, am I a cool owner?
No.
Man, he's seven. I don't give a hell.
I'll bet it's a pain in the ass.
Don't
when
pass
you gotta...
him the ball.
Dealing with his union, though, has got to be a pain, though, your son.
Oh, his
contract extensions and all that.
He's so good. You go to my Instagram and just look at him playing ball.
Yeah.
His kid is incredible.
Now, who does he get that from?
Not me. I don't think I'm his father. He's so good. Well, I don't think I'm his father.
Hold on a second.
I'm like, did you sleep with Meadowlark Lemon somewhere? What a reference.
You're saying you can't play basketball. I mean, listen.
No, I can scream.
Okay.
The things you suck at, you can still have knowledge of the game.
Okay, good. Because one of the all-time greats. Sixth Man. I mean, you gotta have your ghost
Watch
brother to
movie.
Help your buckets fall. Or?
Exactly, that's real life. I think he's helping Steph Curry with some of these shots he's doing. Here's the thing: Steph is an amazing player, and Sixth Man. I study basketball for just so I get good enough to play,
sure,
and to look like a college ball player. But after that, I went back to sucking. I learned to play for 6 months, and I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm not gonna be athletic in that way. But for me, I love sports, all kinds.
Now, when you were doing
even
the basketball.
Tennis, because Venus Williams is ass. I mean,
hold on. Are you team Venus or Serena?
Oh, Serena all day. Okay. Here's why. I like Venus, but I want to bang Serena.
That's fair.
I mean, listen, dude.
I always wanted to knock down the Berlin Wall, and right. I believe that she's carrying it around in her pants.
This is a guy after my heart right here.
I think she would shatter my rectum. trying to get in there.
TheCrestSacramento.com is where you can see Marlon Wayans tonight. 6:30 doors open. 7:30 is out. You call what do you call it, the tip off? The start of the show, whatever. We're talking sports.
Tip off is fine.
7:30 tip off
is at 7:30. And my niece Shante and Cindy Castillo are going to open for me.
Okay,
they're both two very funny comedians. People like deals, especially in Sacramento. You get two Wayans for the price of one. So bring your ass tonight.
There's a lot of Wayans, though. I mean, there's a lot of Wayans.
You may be one at this point. There's white Wayans, Chinese Wayans. It's all over the place. Smart Wayans. I thought that would never happen.
Was this all, we grew, a lot of people listening started with In Living Color, and whether it was you or your brothers. By the way, my favorite Wayans project ever, and I'm serious about this. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. I
swear
to God.
Smoked a lot of weed.
Were the rubber bands
That's
real?
That's how I felt like after surgery.
Really?
But yesterday I had a root canal. I swear I was not. Just started my lip wasn't even working.
He's doing the Logan face right now. Were the rubber bands real in the armpit hair?
Everything
I've always wondered that.
Everything was real.
Okay. I'm serious.
The underarm balls.
Yeah.
I didn't think people would get it. Like, I was just like, the 13th time somebody watches that movie, I'm like, oh my God, do you see his underarm balls? Do you see why does he have weed in his hair? Is that a cell phone antenna? Does he get good reception? That's for the guy that watches it over and over. I did that for the weed heads.
That was me.
Definitely for the weed heads.
Were you surprised how big that movie? I don't know how big the box office was, but I know it's like one of those cult movies.
It opened to $12 million in a snowstorm back in 1994, which is amazing. So it's really probably like $30 million today.
And I always felt like it was kind of a spiritual. I'm not going to get too deep on that movie, but you had I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yeah.
Then you fast forward there. And really, and I don't know if I'm being too accurate or not, but Robert Townsend's film.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Yes.
Which I felt
launched a cast of wonderful, wonderful talent. And my brother was on it.
Absolutely.
But him and Keenan were like partners in that. But Keenan, that was the thing that made Keenan go off and do I'm a Geese Sucker.
And I feel like that Hollywood Shuffle is a movie that a lot of people.
It's classic.
It is a classic.
If you want to get high and watch something, like, go watch
Black Acting School.
Oh my God, Black Acting School.
Yes.
I ain't got no weapons. The auditions and curl, do the Jerry curl. Give me back my activator. Classic movie.
Well, you still keep in touch at all with Robert Townsend?
I see Rob maybe once every couple of years, and he gives me the biggest hug, and he tells me how very proud of him of me that he is, and that makes me feel good. Like, for your, he's like a big brother that's not, he just didn't shoot out my father's thing.
Right.
But he hugs me like a brother and a son, and he goes, I'm so proud with what you're doing with the torch. And that makes me happy, because I do work hard. I'm doing a lot. I finance my own movies like he did with I'm Gonna Get You, with
Hollywood Shuffle.
I get mine independently financed, and then I go to studios. So, he's very proud of the productions I've been doing.
And last question about that, but I always wondered, he's so talented in every aspect, and I'm sure it wasn't because he couldn't get work. He just kind of decided he's done his own thing over the last
few years. No, Hollywood is a weird place. See, you have to, creation is one thing. Recreation is a MF-er.
Sure.
And the key to Hollywood is, it's like they can't, once they know you for one thing, they go, all right, we had that. Nah, what's next? That's why the one reason why I'm leaving parody, because that's not all I do. I do so much. I'm a dramatically trained. I write movies. I want to do physical comedies. I want to do broad comedies. I want to do character comedies. I'm so trained and so well versed that I'm working on my stand up because I want to start dropping specials. That you don't know what you're going to get from me.
And you were educated at the academy that the well, Fame Academy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, it's not just ha ha ha. I'm Marlon Wayans.
No, I know how to act.
Right.
I just choose to do goofy movies because I just like making people laugh, sure. And I like not to give a F. I truly, when you see my show, I'll be at the Crest Theater tonight. When you see my show, you go, this guy literally doesn't care, and he has so much fun not caring that it's fun, and it's like a show. Like I'm very physical, but I say really smart. Poignant things.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a good, well-rounded show. It's just who I am as a performer. You know, I do a lot, and I'm going to express it all. And I don't care if people love it or hate it. I'm going to express myself and what I feel.
You talked about Marlon Wayans here in the studio, by the way, 7:30 Crest Theater. Go check it out. Recreating being the hardest part. And you talked about how you're getting out of parody. You just did 50 Shades of Black. You know, you spoofed these films. I'm wondering, do you see when you do something like that, you see a film like 50 Shades of Grey, do you see that as a vehicle to help you recreate? Or are you saying, oh my God, society is taking this so seriously, we have to fart on this project?
It's a combination.
Okay.
I look at the project and I go, this is ridiculous. And I go, you know what? You know what would be funny? I mean, like 6 million people went to see that movie. And I'm just like, you know what would be funny? What if this guy was really bad in bed? and then my mind starts working from there. And I was like, what if he's black? And how would black people deal in this situation? And oh, 50 Shades. And you come to in your head, you go, okay, that's why I do these movies. Because I think I could make people laugh for an hour and a half. That's the only reason why I would do any movie is because I go, I can pack so many jokes in this movie. Like, I know I can make people laugh harder at this than people are laughing at it because it's a bad movie. And so that's why I go do those movies. But for parody, everybody and their mother thinks they can do parody now.
Mm-hmm.
I gracefully bow out after 20 years of doing it.
Really?
Everybody thinks they can do it. Go ahead.
Sure.
Well, the subtlety has gone away from things like parody.
It's like what happens is it's...
There's no nuance. It's simply you just point and laugh now. There's no joke.
No joke. It's just all, remember this?
Look at how stupid that is.
Remember this from this movie? Remember that? It's like memory lane of a genre. And it's like, that's not what a parody is.
I think it's like, I remember Andy Richter writing something like, you know, a pop culture reference is something people do when they don't have a joke to write.
Well, a pop culture reference is part of what is funny.
Yeah.
It's not the whole entire thing. Pop culture reference, when it's a great one, 20 years from now, you could tell that joke,
sure.
And you will laugh like you just heard it yesterday, whether you know that person or not, or you've seen that pop culture cultural thing or not. It's just funny. We did WhatsApp in Scary Movie. It's just funny that this weed head is sitting around. The killer calls him to make a threatening phone call, and he's going, what's that? And the killer's like, what? What's that? And his voice coming in like, what's that? Because what's funny is this killer, the whole movie, is trying to kill this weed head, but every time he comes next to this weed head, the weed head gets him high, and they become boys. They're freestyling together. All that was pop cultural reference.
Sure.
But you fuse it in, and it's seamless. But see, nobody seems to understand the math of it, and nor am I the guy to continue to explain it. I just gracefully bow out. I go, I did it, and now I'm just going to go do comedies and enjoy that. Because ever since YouTube and the internet, everybody thinks, you know, oh, 50 Shades of Black comes out, Blake Gray comes out, I'm going to do 50 Shades of Purple, 50 Shades of this, 50 Shades of that. And before you get, you know, it takes a year to craft a script and put it out there, and at minimum a year. By the time you get out there, there's so many, it's been beat up so many different times, you just go, you know, F that.
Is that you're not all the same. You all have your own career arcs, but I feel like in the Wayans family, there's like almost like there's different graduations for you guys where you have certain parts in your career where you're goofy, then it's parody, then it's this. But there's always that serious undertone. Like even in Don't Be a Menace to South Central, you had Keenan popping up to Message.
Yeah.
It always seems, and Damon in Last Boy Scout. I mean, that was a funny movie.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot more than I loved that movie. But there was some serious stuff going on there. But for you guys, it seems like there's that serious undertone that comes out the older you guys get.
Well, what happens is you make that choice. You know, when you I'm making the leap from stardom to superstardom. That's where I'm trying to head. And so for me, there's certain things I have to leave behind, and there's other things I have to showcase.
Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go from, I mean, money, fame?
No, it's
you got money.
Realizing your biggest dream.
Sure.
You know, when you dream, I don't dream with a ceiling. I dream to be the biggest at what I'm trying to do. You know, you get to a point, you know, I want to be legendary, man. I want to be when Bob Marley. I want to be Muhammad Ali. I want to be when you walk in a room in any country, man, people just go, thank you for making me laugh. Thank you. Thank you so much. I needed that. You don't understand. I wanted to choke my wife, but man, I seen your movie. I seen your movie, and I just let her neck go and go, man, that boy, man, thank you. He saved your life, and mine too. You know, I just want to make people feel good. I want to be like an old school. I want to be like crack when it first came out, or coke of the 70s, just that good happy drug that you just, or weed, any era. It's just that happy thing. I just want people to associate me with a smile, and then the bigger I get, the more I can help, the more I can take kids like me who have dreams that don't know how to get there, and I can go to the hood and I can re-raise them. I can give them better schooling. I can teach them arts, take them to art schools, and make them escape from their surroundings so they can go contribute to the world as well. You know, I have so many big things I want to do, man, and so I have to be a superstar is what I'm at this point ready to be.
Marlon Wayans in the studio with us. Is that why you're on the road?
Yep.
I mean, you just started, I don't know, just started, what, four or five years?
That's why I'm on the road literally every weekend or every other weekend.
You're going out, and no offense to us, but some offense to us. You know, you're doing Dog and Pony morning ha-ha shows. Yes. You were on TV earlier. And
yes.
You have money. You're a movie star.
It's not about money. I don't do this for money. Everything you do, you get better.
Sure.
Every time you get on stage, you get better. Every time you do a morning show, you get better. Every time you do a radio show, you get better. There's no such thing as failure. There's only trying. And you work on the little stages, because then when you get to the big stages, man, it's nothing. If I shoot a basketball in a gym 50 million times, by the time you put an audience of 70,000 in front of me and I got to make that final shot, well, I did this 50 million times. Yeah, I should hit this shot. So it's all practicum, and it's all practice. I'm hitting these stages feverishly because I got catch-up to do. Most guys start out doing stand-up when they're like 19. I started at 38. And so I'm hitting the stage as much as I can because I'm just getting better. And every time I hit a stage, I get funnier. So
I
like it.
Are you just trying to create in any new way that you can? I mean, is that, you know, you find the things like stand-up comedy, you move on from the spoof genre. You got to keep creating. You got to keep doing your thing. So
some
you find new avenues to do it.
Some things make you better. Stand-up makes you better. TV makes you better. Doing radio shows.
Reps on all that stuff is just the key.
Yes, it's the key. It's like you can't superstar. You can't just, I'll do it when I do it. No, you know what was dope about Prince? Not the fact that he was on opiates and he's that little, but
right.
I'm surprised he can't even move, let alone do a concert. Like, baby aspirin's gonna kill him. St. Joseph's would have had him delirious. What's dope about him was, man, that dude just loved to play.
Sure.
Sitting up, he's at the Soha House playing on a piano with Lionel Richie, with just people that's around listening. He'll go do a concert, then after the concert, go play bass for somebody in a little small show with 200 people. He was an artist, and for me, I just want to be an artist. I just want to have fun. I love what I do. I've been blessed to do what I love. There's no complaints. When it's time to go, let's go. Let's go have fun every moment. Let's go make people laugh, and I love this, and I will do this until I die, and, you know, so I'm just going to enjoy every moment.
Yeah, so that leads me up to a really important follow-up here, and we will ask you about sports, but have you ever made a bong out of an aquarium, really?
Michael Jordan.
Michael
got
Jordan?
Got better.
Perfect.
Got
there you
better.
Go.
That is correct.
Got better.
Yes.
Every year until he hit the Wizards, and then he should have had his Bulls team, and he probably could have won three more rings.
I agree.
But because he became smart about the game. Michael Jordan was a guy that was athletic and can dunk and can hit a mid-range jumper. But then they started double-teaming him because he was an animal and he would score 65 points on you in the playoffs. So then he learned how to pass the ball because he had three people on him and trust his teammates. And then he learned, when I go to the foul line, I'm going to raise my foul line percentage to 85%. So this way, I'm contributing more points to my team and to myself. And then after that, after you foul me and now you got three guys on me, you're giving me no respect from the 3-point line. I'm going to learn to shoot 45% to 50% from the arc. So now how do you stop this guy? How do you stop him? And that's what LeBron needs to do.
Sure.
Is how do you stop? That's the mystery. That's the thing Steph Curry already has in a lot of ways. They just got to find Steph's weakness. LeBron just got to go, I got to get better. And I think he did a great thing this year, and I was hoping that was a smart choice, which is to lay off of the MVP and let Steph have that so he can be rested, so he could work on refining his team. But I don't know if that plan is going to work, but I'm hoping it does.
You're at the Crest tonight, 7:30, CrestSacramento.com for more information. You got to go out and see that show. Obviously, listening to Marlon for the last 25 minutes, you get an idea of the depths and the layers. My last question for you on show business. So I'm a fan of yours for a lot of reasons, and you're obviously a very, very gifted comedian, and that's where it sounds like with the, you just got the sitcom order, Marlon. Yeah. And by the way, what's the difference? When I read that in, what was it, Variety or Deadline or something, that said Marlon Wayans gets the order for the single camera sitcom, and then there was the multi, what's it, single camera, multi camera?
Okay, single camera.
Single
is
camera
like
is
Parks
expensive.
And Recreation. Nope, they're all expensive.
Right. Yeah.
Parks and Recreation, single camera.
Okay.
The Office, anything
Office.
Like
Office.
That.
Yeah. Single camera.
Okay.
I Love Lucy.
Gotcha.
Four cameras, sitcom.
Sure.
Friends, sitcom. Cosby, sitcom. Those are sitcoms. You're in front of a live studio audience,
right.
Which I love because I love hearing the laughs. I love my writers to hear when a joke don't work, we get another bite at the apple before we send that out to the audience. Yo, let's fix this joke. Let's get better. Because then we have options in editing. And for me, the cue of laughter, the audience makes the other audience at home goes, oh, that was funny. What's watching? It makes you go, ha, ha, ha. It cues your laughter. When laughter is an infectious thing, and you don't want to, you know, writers have a tendency to hide behind their paper. But when you give it to an audience, they will tell you by their reaction if it's funny or not.
So with you, you're on the road 5 years doing comedy. You're about to do a sitcom on NBC. Forgive me, but my favorite part of you is I saw you in Requiem for a Dream, and I thought that was a revelation. I think you're an insanely gifted actor.
Thank you.
Do you see that eventually as part of that arc?
Here's what's beauty about my sitcom. It's based on my life as an inappropriate father, of which I am. I have two kids, and I raise them. I give them real N-word talks. And and I'm raising them with my ex. And we still, like, I date my family. I love that woman. Like, we hang out.
Sure.
I dinner with them. It's because you're divorced and you're not together don't mean you don't have to have love.
Sure.
So it's a different kind of TV dad with a different kind of TV family. And what's beautiful about this show is for 21 minutes, it's absolutely hilarious. And then I give you that 1 minute where you actually get to see me have a really nice, sweet moment with my family, like Ralph Cramden used to do with Alice or with
Bob Saget on Full House.
Yeah, Bob Saget the whole time was that on Full House. And they did the real Bob Saget show.
Oh, my God.
He's the darkest, craziest comedian ever.
He's filthy.
Like, the kids would be molested. The brother would be on drugs. That's why he does all the characters. Like, if you ever seen Bob Saget do stand-up comedy, it's like, he's a crazy dude.
Yes,
it's a different brand.
The Aristocrats.
So, I don't know how they put him in Full House. It's like Sam Kinison starring in the Cosby Show. It's like, no, it doesn't.
7:30 tonight at the Crest. Go to CrestSacramento.com. For more information, look out for Marlon on NBC, at Marlon Wayans, just like it's spelled on the Twitter machine. We appreciate
Instagram,
it.
Man, thank you. At Marlon Wayans, Facebook, Marlon Wayans. If you're listening to this show right now, I want you to tweet me, at Marlon Wayans. I'm going to retweet you. Make sure you mention the show and follow these guys. Lastly, my Snapchat is Marlon L. Wayans, Facebook fan page, Marlon Wayans. Go like it. And I'll see you guys tonight, Crest Theater, 7:30. It's going to be a good time. Big laughs. And y'all can review my show and put it out there. If you hate it, great. I'll put it out there because I'm just cool like that.
Oh, you have time to write any jokes when you're doing all the social. I thought I was on social media. Jeez.
So
that's a lot of social media,
I
man.
Got 8 million people following me.
Yeah.
They're growing, man. I love it.
Jeez.
The very talented Marlon Wayans. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Great show. Thank you, guys.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's The Drive, KHDK. Welcome back to The Drive, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Katie off today. It's myself and Nate taking you all the way till 9 o'clock. If you've been under a rock, then you have not heard about the scandal is the right word, all the problems going on with Baylor, the football team specifically of a successful program that has met with some serious stuff over the last couple weeks and even over the last couple months. A guy who knows as much, if not more, about that than anyone, columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Mac Angle joins us. Mac, we appreciate your time this morning. It's Dave. It's Nate. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I wish it could be under better terms. Baylor is one of those programs I personally have no tie to, but I enjoy rooting for. This is a team that's not historically great. But have enjoyed some pretty awesome success with some very entertaining teams, but that's not even near the priority list. For those, Mac, that aren't familiar out here in California, could you give us a brief synopsis of what you've been dealing with over the past weeks and months?
Well, since August of last year, Texas Monthly broke a story about how Baylor University, and specifically its football team, handled a case concerning a transfer from Boise State who was involved with a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend when he was at Boise State. He transferred to Baylor, and he had a sexual assault charge against him from another member of the Baylor athletic department. She played on the soccer team. And once Texas Monthly broke that story, it has been a slow drip of humiliating, embarrassing, and quite frankly, tragic leadership in how the school and the athletic department and the football team responded to multiple rape allegations made by Baylor co-eds against members of the Baylor football team. And ultimately, after I believe a 9-month investigation conducted at Baylor's expense by a Philadelphia law firm, the school decided to fire head coach Art Briles. Athletic director Ian McCaw was suspended, but he has since resigned. And Ken Starr, yes, that Ken Starr has resigned. He was first fired as president, and now he has resigned as chancellor of the university. And only in the last 24 hours have Ken Starr finally addressed this scandal, as well as Art Briles this morning with a statement. And it has completely paralyzed that university for the second time this century with a sports scandal that is sickening at the least.
Mac Engel, columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us, talking about the Baylor football program here on KHTK. All right, I want to ask you about the Ken Starr thing, because you said he got fired from president. You know, he's gone as chancellor. He still is around as a professor, but since his resignation yesterday, he's called for the university to release the entire Pepper Hamilton report. So with that context, Mac, do you believe that Ken Starr resigned on his own accord, or was he under pressure from the Board of Regents? Because he wasn't singing that tune when he was still the chancellor, was he?
No, actually he was.
Okay.
And it was a problem because beginning back in August, all of the Baylor leadership basically was a giant, you know, followed the policy of no comment. The only thing that they would do was release a press release every now and then, and that was about it. In fact, that was it. None of them answered questions. I asked Art Briles one time and a couple others, but that was really about it. And the only time Ken Starr did an interview was when I talked to him back in April, and it was not a scheduled thing, but he was more than polite and gracious, even though I was under the assumption that he was not supposed to be doing that interview, and he did. And when he did, he said he was in favor of full transparency. Now, that interview, as I learned yesterday, almost got him fired because it was a breach of protocol that was enacted by the Board of Regents. So when he resigned yesterday, he hired a PR firm to basically come up with a list of people that he wanted to do interviews with, one of whom was me. And we talked for about 25 minutes, and you could tell that that interview was all about one thing, and that was an extending a middle finger to the Board of Regents, which put his head on a plate, and his policy has been, whether you agree with him or not, about a number of different issues, which probably stems from his time as the attorney who went after the Clintons. He wants full transparency. From what I understand, that Pepper Hamilton report is several inches thick. I would imagine it's in excess of 1,000 pages easy, because God knows lawyers can never write, you know, quickly. I mean, he is espousing the idea, if Baylor's going to move on from this, they have to be transparent, and I'd be willing to bet all of my money that, and he has said he has not read that report, that it has not been made available to him, but my gut tells me this is entirely about trying to prevent Baylor University from significant litigation and an enormous civil suit that are coming and that have already been come down the pike. Because, like, Baylor right now is trying to worry, or with a Penn State style of scandal, which cost that university hundreds of, and I think about $100 million so far.
You know, and the accountability that that kind of transparency would provide, I think, is really important, Mac. As Mac Engels, columnist for Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us about the Baylor football program here. But how that kind of relates to Art Briles, you know, because it hasn't been released, Art Briles loses his job. And I don't think too many people of objective mind will argue that he should still be around. But basically, I mean, do you really have any insight into just how much of a role Art Briles played in this mess, or was his transgression about a lack of control?
I think it was both. I think his firing was threefold. I think he took on a lot of guys and kept guys in who shouldn't have been in school. So there was that. He kept rolling the dice on kids. And did he know about these kids who had been charged with rape and he kept them on the team? Well, there's going to be gray area on that one, and that's, I would imagine, that is what the Pepper Hamilton report would have. His response this morning in a press release would suggest that that he's going to claim ignorance on that he didn't know. Well, then you're going to say, or anybody is going to say, why didn't you know? You're the head coach. And I think that's probably what he was fired for. But ultimately, I do believe the real reason he's fired is because there's no way Baylor University can market itself as a college that cares about kids and places a priority on the safety and the well-being of its students, and its head coach is Art Briles. This was about the presence of a guy who could potentially negatively impact applications, enrollment, and donations, and it is simple as that.
Mac Engel, columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joins us on The Drive. Let's step back. You alluded to this very briefly when you first came on, Mac. Let's step back and look at Baylor. This is, as I understand it, a private religious school, Texas. And we're talking about just the very top of this scandal. You mentioned the second time in a century. Heck, when you say the second time in a century, you mean the second time this century that Baylor athletics have been embroiled in massive controversy. Let's talk a little bit about Dave Bliss, Patrick Dennehy, murder, an assistant coach that secretly taped his coach, Bliss, basically saying to lie to investigators, and now that assistant coach has been blackballed. I understand, I think he was recently hired somewhere, but has been blackballed in the industry, including by Mike Krzyzewski, for taping the coach for a scam he didn't want to go along with. This is, and I'm not trying to make light of any of this, Mac, but this is Hollywood stuff right here.
Yeah, it is, and I think a filmmaker out of Austin, Texas, recently completed a documentary about that scandal. And, you know, my running line has been, well, great, now it has a sequel, and I would imagine that'll be a 30 for 30 at some point. Yeah. I don't know about this one, but that one certainly will be, because you're right, it involved a murder. A teammate murdered a teammate, and Dave Bliss, who I had always sort of suspected to have sort of a slimier side to him when he was the head coach at New Mexico, and certainly when he was at SMU, you know, he was turning the program around, and they were winning games. And one of the reasons they were winning games is because he was taking guys in to Baylor, which is the largest Baptist university in the world, that had no business being at Baylor. And that's, look, that's not new to college athletics. There's a whole host of guys who are running around college campuses playing sports that, A, probably don't really want to be in school, but, B, they're there nonetheless without the academic credentials. That's everywhere. But what Dave did was to take the murder and try to use it to his advantage to throw off the dogs about how badly he was cheating in order to run his program. And the coach who taped him, you know, just sort of coincidentally enough, that whole interview ran in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and it did. It basically ruined Dave's career, which he deserved to have it ruined. And then the assistant coach who taped him, like you said, was blackballed. He couldn't get a job for years because, you know, I remember asking another prominent Division I men's basketball coach, I said, would you hire him? And he said, God, no, you can't trust him. And now Baylor has that. It fired right after that in 2003. It fired Dave Bliss. It fired the athletic director. And it fired the president, who then resigned to become chancellor. And then he quit as chancellor. And on this one, what happens? Art Briles is fired. The athletic director, Ian McCall, quits. Who, by the way, McCall was the guy to replace that outgoing athletic director in 2003. And now the chancellor has quit from his position after he had been fired as president. Virtually the exact same thing 13 years later. The only difference is this time, whereas those were the individual behaviors of a select few, this appears to be a little bit more complicitly bad behavior by several adults, both at Baylor University and even the Waco Police Department.
Mac Engel, columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us on KHTK. So, I mean, you add on the fact that they've been through this in the last 13 years. They've been through a scandal. So, Mac, how does the university justify keeping the Pepper Hamilton report under wraps? What do you say publicly that's going to make sense to people?
I think the way they're going to do it for now, they may, it's going to take constant pressure because, as you guys know, eventually the media, whomever else, gets preoccupied with other things. And it can't be just certain members of the media. It's got to be big media. I think it's going to have to be alums, faculty, and prominent people within the Baylor community that force the issue. Because right now, the Board of Regents can say, we're going to only reveal 13 or so pages or certain excerpts in the name of privacy to the victims. To which my point has been, and Ken Starr agreed on this, reveal the whole thing and redact the names of anybody whose names need to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Because his point is, and look, he screwed up a lot of this too. He's the president, and it's not like this guy's without fault. But at the same time, and he even admitted, the captain goes down with the ship, even though, as he said, listen, I didn't know any of this stuff was going on. But the hard truth is for Baylor to get moving is that it's going to have to eat a plate full of vegetables as well as pay millions of dollars worth of settlements to the victims, of which they've already settled with one, and then just move on. They will move on. They will. Life goes on. Other scandals happen elsewhere and other headlines replace yesterday's news. But for now, it has just been a slow drip and a slow and steady drag of an X-Acto knife against a varicose vein that has caused so much bleeding at Baylor.
Mac, I'm going to ask what is admittedly a very, very crass question, considering we're dealing with murder, we're dealing with sexual assault, possible rape, reputation of a very proud school. In both Dave Bliss's case and Art Briles' case, they put these guys or helped put them back on the athletic map. We know the business of the NCAA. If you're a chancellor, if you're somebody on the board, this is big-time sports, and you're looking at a bottom line, how do you – worth it isn't the right word because nothing's worth it when you're dealing with stuff like this. But despite the scandals – did Dave Bliss and Art Briles, in retrospect, end up being profitable for the University of Baylor, both now and in the long run? Is that the bottom line when you're looking at just simply dollars and cents, the sad truth, or no?
It's a good question. I think in terms of men's basketball in the state of Texas, the gain was minimal. Basketball in Texas has a ceiling. because it's not our national pastime. Yeah, we like basketball. I love basketball, but it's still basketball. And basketball's biggest problem in Texas is that it's not football. So their gain in basketball through Dave Bliss was really limited. Like, they hadn't turned the corner yet. They hadn't had the type of success that they would eventually have under Scott Drew now, who has built a pretty good program, and they have had not nearly the type of success that Art Briles had built in the last 5 years, which is something that had never been done at Baylor University. Baylor University, before Art Briles, had one single 10-win season. He put four 10-win seasons in the last 5 years, including three straight. I mean, he made Baylor nationally relevant, and yeah, his presence there generated that university millions and millions of dollars. Now, what is the payout going to be to the lawyers and to the victims? Is it a wash financially? Do they cancel each other out? Or is it a red minus? And the other thing, too, is if we're looking at the ledger, you cannot put a dollar value amount on the people and the students and the parents who might be dissuaded from even looking at Baylor in the future as a result of the scandal. That's worth money, too. Was it worth it? No, I don't. I think in that 1 5-year era, hell yeah, man, it was worth every dime. But in hindsight, the price is going to be massive, because this type of thing doesn't just fade in a couple of months. This one will linger for years and possibly even decades.
You know, Mac, the one part of the fallout that we haven't really discussed yet, do you see anything coming from the NCAA on this?
Yes. Yeah, they'll do something. I mean, especially because they don't have to do the investigation. Look, we all know that organization's a joke. And because college football, it basically runs itself, you can call it that, that the NCAA will only too gladly, you know, show its teeth and show how hard it is and tough on crime. Now that Baylor has paid for the investigation and said willingly, we've heard from the NCAA, we will cooperate. So, yes, we will see some piece of crap sanctions that they will drop on Baylor, much like they did to Penn State in light of the Jerry Sandusky scandal. Thing to waste of time, but they're going to do it. I would imagine Baylor will lose some scholarships, both through NCAA sanction, and they'd be willing to bet Baylor will put some sanctions and some penalties on itself as well.
Last thing for you, Mac, real quick. There's been this quantum shift in Texas football where you have TCU, Houston, Baylor all in the top 13. Meanwhile, you have the Longhorns, which were long and away the gold standard in Texas, finishing at 5-7 last year. From a pure football standpoint, it's almost kind of slimy to talk about it, but from a pure football standpoint, you know, Baylor's going to lose a lot of recruits now. Do you see this shifting the balance of power a little bit in college football in Texas?
Hell yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. Talk about it. I mean, it's worth talking because Baylor doesn't want to let the kids out of the 2016 class that's supposed to come in either this summer or this fall. Guys are already decommitting like right and left. Look, we all know this. Guys aren't going to school because of the school. They're good-looking girls everywhere. They can find some horse crap college degree that they don't have any interest in pursuing anywhere. They're going for the coach and the program and the chance to win. And that's what Art Briles did. And so will it affect the recruiting? Yeah, it already has. Go look online. You'll see these guys decommitting right and left. This decision will slaughter two recruiting classes. And Baylor University should do the right thing and let the class that committed back in February out of its commitments, because they're going to a program that doesn't have the head coach that it made the commitment to. But they won't, because they know if they do, they're not going to get anybody in here to play for acting coach Jim Grove. This program is getting ready to suck, and they know it. Now, it can be good again, but this kind of hit is going to be big for the next 2 years in recruiting. And you don't think for a second that Gary Patterson at TCU or Charlie Strong down at UT or even up the road at Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy, Bob Stoops, and Norman isn't salivating at the chance to get some of those four-star kids that Art Briles grabbed.
Well, Mac, you've done bang-up work on this. You really have. And we appreciate your time. And honestly, football aside, thoughts to not just the victims of everything that happened, but also the kids, the normal student kids at Baylor that have to deal with this and will have to deal with this for the coming weeks, months, and maybe even years. Good luck to you, Matt. Great work, and thank you for your time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. That's Mac Angle, Fort Worth. Yeah, Star-Telegram.
He hit something at the very end, too, that just kind of drives me crazy about this whole deal. If someone wanted to hire Art Briles tomorrow, he'd have a job, right? There's nothing that would keep someone from hiring Art Briles tomorrow, correct?
Legally, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's okay. Right now, as of right now, although I can see the NCAA stepping in and banning him.
Okay, but those players,
sure.
Those guys that are committed.
Garbage.
Baylor's got to let them out.
Garbage.
You know, the players that are there right now, they got to sit out a year.
Garbage that the players that committed, not knowing about this, mm-hmm. thinking that Art Briles and the rest of that command structure would still be in place, they're committing their future. These kids are commuting their future, and now have had the carpet pulled out from under them. Not only should
and there may not be anything they can do about that because the NCAA is stupid.
Which, guess what? If that is a lawsuit I'd love to see. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's a lawsuit that'll go on a lot further than freshman, sophomore, junior year, where you're ruining these kids' lives. But they have every single right to say bye-bye. Baylor should get shut down. Baylor should get that death penalty at least for a year. Clear the school out entirely. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both feel the same way. In fact, we had a little bit of this a couple days ago when the Darren Collison news broke, where you cringe at thinking about the on-court or on-field ramifications.
Yeah.
We're talking about women being sexually assaulted. We're talking about horrific things in the world. So who really gives a you know, rat's you know what?
Right. Did that make Rajon Rondo more money? Who cares?
Exactly. Or how well UT is going to recruit. But I think the reason why these questions are important to ask and have answered is to just underscore the importance, the money, the growth.
The pressure, man. It's a machine. And like we're talking, you bring up Darren Collison. Those guys are pros, dude. Like we're talking about college. We're talking about amateurs, quote unquote. For whatever you want to consider the NCAA athlete. Now we're gonna still say these kids are amateurs.
No.
And you're telling me that we didn't just pile a whole steaming pile of professional crap on all of the kids that are at Baylor's program right now? That's stuff you shouldn't have to deal with when you're barely making meal money.
That's exactly why when the Penn State thing broke, and obviously you're gonna make comparisons, big scandal, but big differences. I found myself feeling for exactly two sections of people. Number one, first and foremost, the victims, beyond a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But the one group that very few people I found actually felt for was every single kid that had grown up, forget athletes, every single kid that had grown up studying, getting good grades, and they got into Penn State. And they told all their friends and their dads and moms, put on Facebook.
Saw dad down at the steel mill, dad got on the thing. And was like, yes. My boy's gone to Penn State.
Exactly. And we're talking normal English majors that are so proud. I'm going to be a Nittany Lion. My goodness, this is awesome. And it's still that way. When you say, I'm going to Penn State, it's almost like you want to whisper it. Because every single, oh, that's great. They almost talk to you like they just found out you had a diagnosis of a disease, where they raise their voice and talk. Oh, really? Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with that knowing glance. And these kids, whether at Baylor or Penn State, did nothing wrong other than study and get into a school they wanted to go to. That's so sad. Well, we'll continue with that story and I'm sure that will be coming for weeks, months, and years. All right, that's it. Our thanks to everybody that joined us not just today, but throughout the week. I know.
Friday. I can't wait to get it.
Thank God, because, man, you and me staring, there's just too much junk in this room.
I know.
In more ways, you take that any way you want. Have a great weekend, everybody. As always, be safe. We want to see every one of you plus a friend back at 6 a.m. on Monday. So for Nate, for the absent Katie, Jay Johnson always doing a fantastic job leashing us behind the glass. I'm Carmichael Dave. It's The Drive. We'll see you Monday right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.